It's just gone 11 o'clock this Friday evening, and now World on Three with Mary-Anne Kennedy.
Thanks, Jonathan. And I'm going to start out with a sideways glance at the impending voting trail, but with a track to reassure you all that not all electioneering drones on and on. This comes from the sweet and sassy Canadian belle of the Ottawa Valley, fiddler, singer and, as you'll hear too, fantastic step dancer, April Virch with Belle Election. April Virch from her forthcoming album, The New Part, named for the extension to the family home, her parents' old schoolhouse, in fact, added the year that April was born and where all the family music making would take place. The album, produced by the equally talented Casey Dreeson, is out in April on the Portland, Oregon Slabtown Records label. Fiddler, April, complete with spiky new image and a flying visit through a very few English and Northern Irish dates in May if you want to try and catch her live, and she is always worth it. Welcome to World on Three with me, Mary-Anne Kennedy, and the studio here in Broadcasting House has been transported back in time for tonight's live session with a 4,500-year-old instrument from Mesopotamia brought back to life for the Golden Lyre of Ur project. Steph Connor, Andy Lowings and Mark Harmer will be with us very shortly to take us on that unique journey. We also have new releases from artists that we've gotten to know in a band context. Rhiannon Giddens from the Carolina Chocolate Drops and more from her erstwhile bandmate Dom Flemons and from Man Ran vocalist Norrie McKeever. And of course, we'll be dipping into the Radio 3 World Music Archive and inviting our guests to share something special to them in their heritage track. Now, we're going to hear something from the legendary Egrem Studios in Havana, Cuba, a little later on tonight, with a track from the project that put the place and the music firmly on the world music map. But let's hear now from a product of a no less influential recording venue, Bogolan, in the Malian capital, Bamako, and one of the last great voices to have emerged from the heady early days of Malian independence. Boubacar Traoré is in his 70s now, living in the capital rather than his native northwest home, but still creative as ever. The new album is produced by Christian Mousset and Balaké Sissoko, who also lend some beautiful kora to the mix elsewhere. But what you hear on this track, Mbalimau, Brothers, All Will Be Well, Everything Is Possible, is the soku, a tiny bowed instrument played here by Soumalia Diabaté.
Mali, 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 Irmali, Gandaberu, Gabori. Mali, 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 Irmali, Mali, 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 Irmali, Gandaberu, Kabore, Mali. Dandane, dande pandas, et une chance for condense, un peu for tous les ans, c'est la joie au Mali. Malé, malé, un peu plein but une fois, la devise de mon pays, ces drapeaux tricolores, l'emblème de mon pays, le vert diatiguille, le jaune zinangoya et le rouge cagnébé. Malé, malé. Irmali Uganda, Mali Ganda Beru, Mali Ganda Hena, Jiri Marje Banda Girgu, Modibone Walamangirgu, Mali, Jiri Marje Banda Keita, Modibone Walamangirgu, Mali Zi, Inirga Wangu. Inirga virji, chinda inirga here, Mali bani ganda, Mali tasu ganda, Mali nanti wangu ganda, Mali irganda, Mali irganda. Oh Mali, suba Mali, oh Mali, suba Mali. Subashi Mali, Mali Uganda, Mali Uganda, Mali Uganda, Mali Uganda, Mali, Mali, Mali Uganda.
Something more intimate from Songhoi Blues, the young band from Northern Mali who've been garnering so much attention of late. A heartfelt acoustic tribute this time to their homeland Mali from their debut album Music in Exile. Their reputation is well deserved, as you can hear from their recent World on Three performance on the BBC Celtic Connection site, and they're back on the Beeb tomorrow night playing the Six Music Festival when they'll be playing a live set at the Cumberland Arms. And I'm going to stay with Mali for one more track, as touring the UK over the next couple of weeks too are an outstanding group of musicians from the south of the country. Trio Dakali are singer Hawa Kase Kasamadi Djabati, daughter of the legendary Kasamadi Djabati, Lasana Djabati of Tumani Djabati's great symmetric orchestra on Balafon, and on Ngoni they're joined by the eldest son of Baseku Koyati, Mamadou, showing that serious Ngoni licks run in the family. This high-powered trio were brought together originally for a collaboration with the Kronos Quartet, but they've now released a debut EP in their own right on World Circuit to coincide with this Making Tracks tour. The dates take them from Pontardawe Arts Centre in Swansea tonight to York through on the 5th of March. You'll find the links to more information on the Radio 3 website. If any of you were at that gig in Swansea tonight, we'd love to know what it was like. You can tweet us at BBC Radio 3 with the hashtag WorldOn3 to let us know. And in the meantime, here are some of the beautiful Mandy sounds heading our way.
Barawa, kaninge barawa walene disawale walene disaninge barawa walene disawale walene nadisaninge barawa I barawan ni na de sa de ibolo. I barawan na de saninge de ibolo. I kanaton na de saninge kamanogo. Mogoteni bara kono kolo Mogoteni bara kono kolo Ai bo na nyolo musota edendi bolo kana wari ni senkana wari o masoro to dene fe Ai bo na nyolo musota edendi senkana wari ni bolo kana wari o masoro to dene fe Sisi bara sisi ne mogoteni bara kono kolo Mogoteni bara kono kolo Mogoteni bara kono kolo Mogoteni bara kono kolo
They gave me, so I soon deserted. eyes that sail fast as the wind could heave me. Resolved that all my liberty no man would e'er leave me. I slept by night in open fields by all old friends forsaken, and I dare not walk the roads by day for fear that I'd be taken. The feeling of a courage king, a likewise able-bodied, load downs on the king's way with my pistols heavy loaded. I pressed my musket to his chest, which caused him for to quiver. £500 in ready gold to me he did deliver. I robbed the Earl of Warren. Then one night by Turnham Green, I robbed the tax collector. And what I took from him I gave a widow to protect her. For I only robbed the rich and great, to rob the poor I scorned it. And now they leave me to my fate in iron chains. By the laws convicted, to hang on the Tyburn trees, my fate, of which I'm much affected. Farewell, my friends and countrymen, my native hills of Yarrow. To all the girls I leave behind, remember time.
Tyne of Harrow from World on Three's album of the month, Salvor, by False Lights, and with a name inspired by one of my favourite ever books. Sam Carter and Jim Murray make a great head start. Bella Bathurst's The Wreckers is a careering voyage around the perilous coastline of the British Isles, and more to the point, the more dangerous inhabitants thereof, with their habit of leading unsuspecting sailors to their doom. And the 21st century incarnation of folk rock that, as the lads say, owes as much to Radiohead as to Fairport, seems to have been born of similar reckless abandon. Chosen by Robin Denslow as our inaugural monthly pick, Joe Frost will be with us in 2 weeks' time to make the March selection. This is Mary-Ann Kennedy and World on Three, where the studio has been taken back for a 1,000 years and more, on one level anyway, and where the centrepiece of tonight's live session is an ancient golden lyre, an instrument brought back to life not just by its recreation, but the creation of new music for it in the hands of singer-composer Steph Connor and the lyre ensemble, Andy Lowings and Mark Harmer. Loads of questions to ask the three, but the first, obviously, to be answered is, what does this all sound like? So let us wait no more. Here they are with the first piece, an English introduction first with Come Sit Closer, and then being led into a Sumerian world, Balbal to Nanshe, a water goddess, and the words are just beautiful. Let me just tell you a little so that you can listen in the right frame of mind. The fish held in her hand as a staff, fishes don her feet as sandals, fishes light up the sea like fires, play instruments for her like the high priests. Well, let's have our own high priests here with the lyre ensemble.
such a long time. And I do have things to say to those who will hear. Come, sit closer, draw
Lyre Ensemble with the voices of Steph Connor and the Mesopotamian Lyres, bringing a whole nother world to life. And Steph Connor, Andy Lewings and Mark Harmer just joining me here at the table in the far corner of the studio. Steph, checking out your Twitter account, and I should say that it's not just worth listening to this, but actually seeing what we're seeing in the studio. So if people want to have a look at these amazing instruments, they can just head for the at BBC Radio 3 account on Twitter, and they'll be able to see some of the photographs that we've posted already. But your Twitter account describes you as a musician, singer and devotee of dead languages.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So what is it that drives you to want to bring something like this to life, to say exactly as you were describing in that first song, in that introduction?
I'm it's a hard question to answer. I've been like it ever since I was a child, and I sometimes wonder if it's kind of a a spiritual thing, because I'm not a religious person, but I need to find comfort, and it brings me comfort to find an emotional connection with people who lived thousands of years ago. So maybe that's part of the reason for it.
And there must be some kind of emotional, spiritual connection in finding people who want to do something similar instrumentally, with Andy and Mark wanting to recreate these instruments, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. We were brought together very serendipitously, and as soon as we all met each other, immediately, I think we just improvised together and made music, and it worked, and it was so exciting right from the outset.
Well, it is exciting just to have the instrument sitting here in the studio, this golden bull's head, and it really is like something out of Indiana Jones. I'm going to be completely unashamed in that description. It really is like having something from ancient Mesopotamia just transported down into the middle of Studio 80A. Andy Lewings, where did this project arise from? Who would want to do this?
Well, I'm an engineer, and I've had some great project management jobs in my life, and I've been in the Middle East, and I came to the harp late on in my life. It's a great instrument, and I soon picked it up. But I became interested in the history. Where did these lovely instruments come from? And I was drawn about 10 years ago to an archaeological dig in a place called Sumer, Ur, in modern-day Iraq, and an old picture in the British Museum of a pile of lyres and a harp, which was excavated in a dig in 1929. And I thought, what a wonderful, well, a hobby, actually, to recreate one of these instruments. And perhaps we'd learn something from recreating it. It started off as a hobby, but has ended up a bit bigger than that now.
Now, Mark, who's sitting beside you, and the other part of the lyre ensemble, you have three different instruments working for you here. The most spectacular golden lyre. You normally have a silver lyre. What's masquerading here tonight is a Paraguayan harp that's doing a very good job of standing in, and a tiny little a lot more portable. But what strikes me is that when the two of you got involved in wanting to recreate this happened at a time around about 2003 when the place where the original golden lyre itself was being
yeah,
well was trashed, being yeah. displayed, and just tell us about that kind of coincidence, I suppose. Ironic, terribly, terribly sad.
It was just coincidence when we thought to recreate an old instrument, but when we saw it vandalised there in the museum in Baghdad, it was serendipitous. We had to do it, and so we did it authentically. We did it correctly with all the right materials.
Obviously, there had been these pictures, Mark, and until the terrible sacking of the museum when the lyre and so many other treasures were lost. How did you go about rebuilding this beautiful instrument? And just for those who are only listening on radio and haven't made it to Twitter yet, just describe for us what all goes into this instrument.
I'll happily describe it, but I think Andy needs to tell a bit more about the building. It is an amazing thing. It's quite a lot bigger than most people imagine when I describe it. It's a frame that stands about 4 feet high, covered in gold bands and lapis lazuli and stones that are, I think, from the Mosul Desert, and these extraordinary, what I call the vertebrae, the sort of backbone of the thing, which is a set of tuning levers with silver wrapped around the cedar, which has also come from the Middle East, and the bull's head on the front, which is just the most spectacular finishing off of this extraordinary instrument. And it almost sounds like a gentle bull sometimes when it's when it's being played.
Is there a significance to the bull's head? Because that also appears on the silver lyre as well,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, I think these old civilizations there in Mesopotamia had a great veneration for bulls. Perhaps they were power, perhaps they were gods. We don't really know, but they adorn a lot of the instruments and the iconography. And it certainly has a presence, doesn't it?
It's absolutely spectacular. You're just drawn to it in the middle of the room. And the decoration, quite apart from its stature, because it is huge. It's 4 feet and more high, the same again, wide. Just a few, is it nine strings?
Eight strings
yeah. across just across the middle and wrapped round the top bar, but the richness of its decoration and the efforts that you've gone to sourcing everything authentically, you know, from the source. Yes.
It's important. 2003 was a very sad time for people in that area. It's a great instrument that's venerated there in modern day Iraq, and we had to do it right if you're going to do it.
And the same thing, I suppose, Steph, goes for the language. When you're recreating, you're vocally and lyrically doing the same thing, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a kind of, you're fighting a losing battle in a lot of ways, because it's impossible to know exactly how it sounded. As a kind of obsessive person, the whole way through the process, I had this imagined version of, a band of scholars pursuing me who were going to be enraged if I got anything wrong. People are much more forgiving than that. And we did our best, and we did have some help from this wonderful project at SOAS University, where they've put some Babylonian and Assyrian poems online. So you can just go online and listen to this Babylonian poetry, which is absolutely amazing.
And which, at the end of the day, is just their best guess as much as it is yours.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I suppose it gives you a kind of element of freedom. We'll talk about it a little more again, but for the moment, I'm going to let you head back over to the mic, and Andy and Mark are back in place. We're going to hear the gold lyre, the greatest of the three instruments, sitting here accompanying Steph Connor, this time with The Flood. Just as difficult to tune up 4,500 years ago as they are today. Thank you.
σου είτε λουάνα σαμε σανι ηγλάνι κύμα καλβι κουνουνου ισάσι ιστά κύμα αλλή.
The calm of the storm god passed across the sky, and all that was bright was turned into gloom. One person could not see another. The gods were humble, sitting in tears. The Flood from Steph Connor, Andy Lowings and Mark Harmer, the Lyre Ensemble. And I think I can safely say, although you never know in these hallowed BBC halls, a first playing a Mesopotamian lyre live here in the Broadcasting House studio in London. More millennia-old inspiration for new music to come later on World on Three, where you're listening to Marianne Kennedy. I do know who I am. And I'm going to carry on with two artists who started out in a band together, but who are now making a big impression on the American roots world in a solo role. That band was, and for Rhiannon Giddens, continues to be the Grammy-winning Carolina Chocolate Drops. But while she continues to tour with them, this solo album takes her off in directions both connected to and far beyond the Drops territory. It's produced by T-Bone Burnett, following a live collaboration on the gig of the music from the Coen Brothers' American folk tribute Inside Llewyn Davis, where she was, for many, including Burnett, the star of the show, placing her on a time and music line of luminaries, including Odetta, Marian Anderson, Mahalia Jackson and Rosetta Tharpe. Big boots to fill, but our encounters with Rhiannon here on World on Three would suggest that these comparisons are not necessarily all flannel. Listen for yourselves here with Rhiannon's version of folk singer-songwriter Elizabeth Cotton's Shake Sugaree. Everything I got.
you. Nothing in the world can make me snub you.
Polly, put the kettle on, kettle on, kettle on. Polly, put the kettle on.
Boil a teacup, bread and butter. Good enough for anybody. Bread and butter's good enough for me.
Kettle on, kettle on, kettle on. Polly, put the kettle on.
Boil the teacup.
Bread and butter's good enough for anybody. Bread and butter's good enough for me.
This way I get good, boy. Another drink.
Polly, put the kettle on, kettle on, kettle on. Polly, put the kettle on. Boil a teacup.
Bread and butter's good enough for anybody.
Bread and butter's good enough for me.
Former Chocolate Drop Dom Flemons, and another track from his latest album in the guise of all-American songster Prospect Hill, and this version of what we think of as a nursery rhyme inspired by recordings of harmonica player Sonny Boy Williamson. Before that was Rhiannon Giddens from her new release just out on Nonesuch Records. Thanks to all of you who've sent us some great new music as part of BBC Introducing. As promised, the World on Three team have listened to all the World and Roots material. Up-and-coming, unsigned and other hopefuls have sent us via the BBC Introducing Uploader. 2 weeks ago, we heard World on Three's first introduction from London-based Algerian musician Nassim Ziryab, who's actually now going to be playing a session for us in a few weeks' time here on World on Three, so it does work. And this week's selection also comes from London. Colin Samurai and his band of carnival-minded souls from a wide range of backgrounds, from jazz to math rock and Afrobeat. Here's a flavour of a couple of the tracks they sent us, starting with a song that's begging to be an anthem. Hard times require furious dancing.
Thank you.
Colin Samurai brought to you on World on 3 via BBC Introducing. They have tweeted to say that the debut EP is out at the beginning of March. Thanks, guys. And if you want to get your music heard, head for the BBC Introducing website, and there are links there to the uploader with all the information you need to get your music to our desks. Thanks as well to Gary Sherman, tweeting appreciation of tonight's session. What a find, he says, and we tend to agree. There's more from them very shortly, but first, I promised something from Havana earlier, and here it is. Another sampling of the Lost and Found selection of tracks revisited from the original Buena Vista recordings, with Omara Portuondo now at 84, one of the few Cuban stars still around, and embarking on a farewell tour with the orchestra Buena Vista that keeps the music alive. This previously unheard track is from the sessions that produced Omara's second World Circuit album, Flor de Amor, back in 2004. According to the CD notes, the reason for its exclusion the first time was that it was considered too energetic and high octane for what was essentially a collection of slow tempo, smouldering numbers. We're very glad that we get to hear now Tiene Sabor.
Preciosos palmares, se oyen los tiernos cantares que salen de tu voz.
Tiene sabor, sabor, sabor y nada más. Tiene sabor, sabor, sabor y nada más.
Cuando en La Habana me oyeron lo dulce que yo cantaba, cantores se aproximaban. Hasta que cantar me vieron, uno a otro se dijeron, esta nena no es de aquí, y yo, que nunca me escondo, les dije de buena gana, soy Omara Portuondo de Cayo Hueso, La Habana.
Tiene sabor, 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 y nada más.
Yo pinté por donde cruza un bello ferrocarril, un machete, un fusil, una lancha marinera.
Por la que yo voy a morir. Por la caña negra.
preciosos palmares, se oyen los tiernos cantares que salen de tu bohío.
Formidable quartet indeed. I had the pleasure of meeting the McCreary sisters last month in Glasgow and hearing them in action. Veritable Nashville gospel royalty, being the daughters of Samuel McCreary, one of the leading lights of the legendary Fairfield Four, who've been at the forefront of gospel music since the 1940s. These girls, well, they've sung with everyone from Bob Dylan to Johnny Cash, Stevie Wonder, and even, as very wee girls, they hasten to say, Elvis. That was By the Mark from their current album, Let's Go. Before that, the Buena Vista Social Club from the new release, Lost and Found, Omara Portuondo from 2004. Some bonus gems culled from original recordings back through that the early days of that Buena Vista project. And with so much recorded on the hoof at the time, it wouldn't surprise me at all if there was more yet to come. And since we're in the realms of musical pedigrees and inheritances, well, it seems like a good time to turn to our heritage track for tonight. Every week, we invite our session guests to bring along a track or performance that resonates with them for a particular reason, whether it be musicians who've had a big impact on their own music, or perhaps something we couldn't have come across without the benefit of an introduction from themselves. Well, tonight, it's the turn of Steph O'Connor from the Lyre Ensemble. And Steph, well, you've picked, well, tell me.
I've picked a piece of music from the score, the original score by Tan Doon for the film The Banquet. It's sung by an actress, Jo Seung, and I've heard her do some other songs, and they're very kind of different in style from this. This is a real one-off, and I just think it's this unbelievable piece of music. It's so inspired. It just every tiny little sound in it counts. Every tiny noise, every little rustle is incredibly important and loaded with meaning. So it inspired me a lot.
Let's listen then to Longing in Silence.
She, she.
Beautiful indeed. Longing in Silence from Tan Doon's score for The Banquet, a loose retelling of, well, kind of a cross between Shakespeare's Hamlet and Ibsen's Ghosts. Thanks to Steph Connor from the Lyre Ensemble for picking out that heritage track tonight. Thanks also to Rookwood tweeting us at BBC Radio 3 for a kind of rather perfect description of tonight's programme. Thank you for that. The world singing from the cradle of civilization to its modern dance halls. So from our live session to our BBC introducing, just a rather perfect upsum. And we return to the session just now with a love song. And so that you are in the right Sumerian frame of mind, I'm going to give you just a little of the translation. Man of my heart, my beloved man, your allure is a sweet thing, as sweet as honey. You have captivated me. Of my own free will I come. Let me flee with you into the bedroom. And then at that point we reach the waves crashing on the shore point of the text. So I shall leave the rest to your imagination as the Paraguayan harp steps in instead of the silver lyre to accompany Steph Connor here on the love song. Thank you. Rather exquisite, the love song from Steph Connor and Andy Lowings and Mark Harmer playing not the silver lyre this evening. There is actually a reason why he's playing a Paraguayan harp instead of the silver lyre. I shall leave it for him to explain when he manages to make his way over to the table here. Yes, Mark, you were explaining why you have an interloper here tonight.
We went through several different harps. Andy has quite a few harps at home, and I brought one of mine as well. We wanted one that would match the sounds of the silver lyre, and that one is almost perfect. If you listen to the CD, you'll find it almost is exactly a match for it. And the silver lyre is currently in Florence, having silver and decoration shortly put on it. And we're going to go over to Florence to perform this music and receive, if that's right, the silver lyre in a public concert or a couple of public concerts in Florence in April, which is a fantastic thing to look forward to.
So these instruments are actually precious in more ways than one.
They're very precious. I mean, the silver lyre is a little sister or brother of the big lyre and looks very similar, but it is covered in sheet silver as opposed to the real lyre that's covered in sheet gold and worth about over £50,000.
Don't be telling people that, are you?
Well, you meant to say there was £5.
£5, yes, yes.
£5.
It's held in the bank. So,
yeah. tell me a little more, Steph, about working with these texts. Now, you spoke about the massive help that you've had from academics and researchers into these ancient languages, but there must be an element of freedom in being able to express your best guesses and your inspirations from the words in your own music.
Yeah, actually perhaps that's why I like Sumerian so much, is because really nobody knows how that language sounded. The Babylonian is a different thing because it's part of the Semitic language family, so there are a lot of living languages that are closely related to it, whereas Sumerian is a language isolate. There are some ideas about how various syllables were pronounced, but almost nothing, well, nothing in fact at all is known about stress or anything like that. So that means we can basically do whatever we like, which is quite liberating.
But when you do look at the translations, the human aspect of these songs just comes leaping out at you.
Oh, good.
Across 4.5. Well, can't help but with the vividness of that particular text, especially
absolutely.
That
last Sumerians
song.
Did it too. You heard it first. Here.
They did it with bells
and
on.
How well they did it as well.
You also mentioned, I've seen you talking about how you come across little aspects of real life through things like sayings and proverbs and the do tell me about the gram flower, because that's been puzzling me ever since I heard you talking about it.
Yes, well, we picked out a selection of choice Sumerian proverbs from the corpus, and one that we liked because it was just so simple was chickpea flour is appropriate for every woman in the palace.
And do you have the first idea as to what this means?
Well, thanks to the wonder of the internet, yes. So we're told that it was used as a sort of a foundation for women as makeup on their faces. So I've been doing that now for some time, and it looks excellent. that was a lie. but Andy has.
Steph's a big believer in chickpea flour.
Yeah.
Talking about the real human connection, Andy, you spoke about the origins of the project and the heartbreaking connections between the destruction of one and the recreation of another instrument. But you've actually also taken this music and the project back to southern Iraq, yes. to communities that living in yes. where this instrument would have been millennia back. How has that resonated with people?
Well, I think it's very important that we keep an eye on the fact that these instruments come from that part of the world, and it's a part of the world that's undergoing trauma at the moment. And I think through our group, we've managed to show that music and art it goes across generations, it goes across cultures and religions, and we did this really very much to show that musicians are the same now as they were thousands of years ago, and probably had the same difficulties that we all have. But we love our art, and we're very lucky to use it in this way.
Oh, I suppose represent that same beacon of light to yeah. human beings. Doesn't matter what era you're in. Andy and Mark, thank you so much. I'm going to let you guys head back over to the instruments. And just as they're doing that, Steph, maybe just quickly tell me about this last number. It's quite vivid, Ishtar's Descent.
Yes, this one's my favourite one. It's Ishtar's Descent to the Netherworld, which is from the 7th century BC, and I think you can see this tablet in the British Museum, and it tells the story of the goddess Ishtar travelling down to the underworld, and the section that we've taken from the story is where she knocks at the gate and demands to be let in, and she makes some threats and says she will smash the gate and raise the dead so that the dead outnumber the living. It gets pretty dark.
Well, Steph, we will let you head over and round off this session in appropriate fashion. And as ever, the words of this last number are, as Steph said, very vivid. Raise up the dead so they devour the living, so the dead will outnumber them. And this comes from the Lyre Ensemble's album of the project called The Flood. Steph Connor, Andy Lewings and Mark Harmer, thank you so much. And let's listen now to Ishtar's Descent to the Underworld.
Kar la tari Ishtar was standing at the gate beside the microphone there. Thank you so much to Steph Connor, Andy Lowings and Mark Harmer for a quite remarkable session, inspired not across centuries but millennia. They'll be headed off from Broadcasting House here in London with the lyre strapped to the top of the car. No tampering with it, mind, for fear of Ishtar's revenge. You can find more about the Gold Lyre of Ur project online if you head for World on 3 on the Radio 3 website. We've posted all the links there, as well as details on all of tonight's music, links to the treasure chest that is our World Music Archive, and also the BBC Introducing Uploader if you want us to hear your music. We guarantee that one of the World on 3 team will always listen to any track that's sent for our attention. And if we like it,
We'll play it here on World on 3, where you're listening to Mary-Anne Kennedy. Looking forward now to an upcoming session next month, when I'll be joined by English folk star Seth Lakeman with songs from his new album, Word of Mouth, a lavish hardback triple CD-DVD production, the songs inspired as ever by the people and places around him down in the southwest, including one man, John York, who spent 43 years working in Devonport Dockyard, one of the largest naval bases in Western Europe.
I've bashed my spine on solid rock. I've laid my head in sand. I've spit my lips on words that fit on the docks of this fine land. I've stepped on boards I can't afford, and I've laid my troubles down. When there's nothing left to tie me up, I go hard on the heavy ground. Here upon this waterside, in the evening when I raise my eyes, I burn, bend, and brace for another long night. A stuck slave in the loading line. Now the engine grunts and squeals. I've rendered rough when times are tough. I've run on four square wheels. All the stinker fumes for all they move. They steam those windows round. When there's nothing left to tie me up, I go hard on the heavy ground. Here upon this waterside, in the evening when I raise my eyes, I burn, bend, and brace for another long night. Scratch for tin, and I've rolled those barrels down, and I've spun those ropes, stacked those boats, I've bashed that rigging around. For I'm a stevedore who works on the shore, and I've a reason to be proud. When there's nothing left to tie me up, I go hard on the heavy ground. Here upon this waterside, in the evening when I raise my eyes, I burn, bend, and brace for another long night. Stalks the day. All the hiring crews are gone, but the driving force on the busy wharf clocks off for a tidy sum. One last ship was set to sail, and with the cargo packed and bound, in the turning mist this docker ship lay deep in the hollow ground. Here upon this waterside, in the evening when I close my eyes, I burn, bend, and brace for another long night. For another long night. For another long night.
Canadian singer Ona Teixeira, and the title track from a new solo album, Wild One, written and developed in the mountain desert of Utah. And the content of much of the album and the name of the accompanying tour also reveals her frank engagement with mental illness and how it's affected her family, her grandmother in particular. The Blue Sleeve on Our Heart tour reaches English venues in March from the 18th onwards. And she'll also be joining us live in session on the show on the 20th. Before that was the Snow Reels from the Alan Kelly Gang. Not a wanted bunch of outlaws, but a Scottish, Irish, American gang of outrageously talented musicians led by said Kelly on piano accordion. Something of a rarity in Irish music. But when I interviewed him a few weeks ago, he confessed that it was in honour of his dad, who likewise played the piano box. A very sweet moment that you'll be able to watch later this year on BBC Alba. You're listening to Mary Ann Kennedy and World on Three, and while you're online, do remember there's much to enjoy there connected with the show, from Celtic Connections highlights to the Commonwealth Connections downloads to the wonders of the World Music Archive. And if it was the Commonwealth Games last summer that gave rise to the Commonwealth Connections, it was the Olympics in Beijing in 2008, complete with Tandun composed musical backgrounds to all the celebrations there, that led in part to a Radio 3 recording trip that is captured in that archive. We have just a little of it here from Shanghai, an oasis of flute and zither amongst crazy travel, strange foods and over-merry local dignitaries. Father and daughter, Dai Shuong and Dai Wei, with plum tree blossom a Chinese metaphor for intellectuals who'd keep their disciplines alive even through punishing Chinese winters. Serenity in Shanghai from Dai Shuong and Dai Wei. And you can wander online to your heart's content through the whole of the Radio 3 World Music Archive. 14 years of unique moments, performances and events around the globe captured by Radio 3 teams to enjoy as often as you please. Head for the website and follow the world music links. This is where I leave you tonight. Thanks to everyone, James Birtwistle, Joe Langton, Naomi Anderson in the studio, Martin Webb and producer Roger Short as ever. Thanks to our guests for an unnerving and humbling session, according to listener Geraldine Cook. Thanks to Steph Connor, Andy Lowings and Mark Harmer with the Gold Lyre of Ur. The last words, though, come not from ancient Mesopotamia, but a little closer to home for me. Adventurous borderer Kirsty Law with an album recorded in her home tune of Heriot. We'll hear her alone with a clunky but very atmospheric piano backing the Ballad of the Border Widow. And before that, another band singer going solo, Manran's Noritago McKeever, with a song that emerged from Garage, a TV series from a few years ago, pitting music from different genres together to create something new. The result for Nori was this song and the guest vocals here, Julie Fowlis.
Dachi mahin shed nehenedin smifas nishinye gintenye koram erho karam erbeher.
So stop the rot and all your dreaming of stuff you haven't got. It's not what you have, it's who you hold, who keeps you warm when you feel cold.
Can't dream that miles and not off the sea.
With these sad regrets.
seen time that isn't yours, but sure ain't mine. So be who you are, carry scars. I know it's such a shame, why'd you stay the same?
Sitting on Jesus, in the toyan tera, a hamigiri tela, lema vega. Good to see you, since she the Hanamu. Gah came the song, he goes can die in a year.
Come, bring me, man, I'll sing not a face of how long.
With these old regrets.
Come, bring me, man, I'll sing.
To the empty space beyond these walls, loneliness and urban
sprawls.
With these old regrets.
My love, he built me a bonny bower, and clad it all with lily flower. A broader bower he ne'er did see than my true love he built for me. There came a night by middle day, he spied his sport and he went away, and brought the king that very night, who broke my power and slew my knight. He slew my knight, Tame City. He slew my knight and pointed his gear. My servant saw, for life did flee, and left me here in extremity. I sewed his sheet, mark in my mane. I washed the corpse myself alone. I watched his body both night and day. No living creature did come that way. I put his body all on my back, and whiles I gaed and whiles I sat, I digged a grave and I laid him in, and hapt a tower with a sod sae green. But think now, ye, my heart was sae, as I put the mow o'er his yellow hair. Oh, think now, ye, my heart was wae, as I turned a boot o'er again. No living man I'll love again, now that my lovely knight was slain. And away I look all his yellow hair. I'll chain my heart forevermore. Thank you.